when it comes to giving offering sermonettes, you're somewhat limited, because we have Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, that we always seem to go to. But it never ceases to amaze me that every time we go through this procedure, some other little tidbit of truth seems to come out. Now, if you remember a few weeks ago, Mr. Bowles gave a sermon on focusing forward. Now, the world is falling apart around us. Just last night, as we said this morning, there's a great dramatic turn of events. But we are told in Deuteronomy 16 to rejoice in the feast. And it's not actually a suggestion, it's actually a command. So if you just turn to Deuteronomy 16, and let's just read it. Deuteronomy 16, verse 10. And you shall rejoice before the Eternal your God, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite that is within your gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord your God has chosen to place his name. And you will remember that you were a bondsman in Egypt. And if you drop down to verse 14, it says, and you shall rejoice in the feast. And it goes into the same thing again. And then it says in verse 16, three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, which basically starts off with this festival. And you shall not appear before the Eternal empty. And here's the thing that suddenly came to my notice. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. Now, I've just been out in the car park. I did not see any Bentley Continentals. I did not see a single Rolls Royce. I saw one grotty old Vauxhall with 190,000 miles on the clock. And I saw an Espace that we won't talk about. So what are these blessings? I look at my bank balance and say, well, it's certainly... we survive, but yes. Turn to Luke 10. Turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 23. And let's just see what these blessings are. And even this scripture in itself has got a little bit of a twist to it, if you think about it. Luke 10, verse 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said, privately, right? That's important. He turned just to the disciples. Now, we're those students today. This is Christ speaking to us. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Think about Daniel. Just think, we're just talking this morning about the Persian Empire. Here's Daniel, second in command of the whole Persian Empire, close to God, willing to put his life on the line, had his three friends thrown into a fiery furnace. He was slung into a den of lions, and God protected him all the way through. Then you have this phenomenal prophecy in Daniel, which I think is the longest prophecy in the Bible, which takes you right the way through up until today. He had all that revealed to him. He was praying this prayer, and Gabriel appeared to him and told him the things that were about to happen. Can it really get any better? And right at the end, what does he say? What are these things? And what is the message he gets? Go your way. That's you. You've done your job. You now die and you wait for the resurrection. That was what, 500-ish years before Christ appeared. That was 2,500 years from now. Almost halfway back into human history. What about Abraham? He didn't know anything of this day. He had certain prophecies, he had certain promises, but those promises were 2,000 odd years in the future. But we understand them. We understand what happened in the early 1800s when the 2520 years ended from Israel's original captivity, and we saw the United States blossom. Britain suddenly becomes a colony. This all happened within 3 years. There was the Louisiana Purchase, which united the United States. The British Commonwealth became the British Commonwealth, and so it goes on. And then you come forward 2520 years from the fall of Judah, and you have the surrender of Jerusalem to General Allenby. But that, as a lot of people point out, was the wrong day. You see, the Bible's wrong. It was a day out. No, it wasn't. Because the actual surrender was the day before, and it was surrendered to a British corporal. That's amazing. We can see these things. We stand here today seeing a financial catastrophe happening which is unparalleled in history. It is absolutely crazy what is happening. And I'll tell you right now, it's not even started. Because I read the other day that the banks have not written down what they should have written down. They've taken that £100,000 house that we were talking about. They've lent £120,000 on that house. They're writing the £120,000 down up to 10%, which means like £108,000 or thereabouts. Meanwhile, the value of the house has dropped down to £70,000. So in actual fact, they're understating the disaster by anything up to 75%. One man reckons, he says, $500 billion? He says, you're joking. He says, tie $2.5 trillion if they were honest. In other words, what's happening now is the tip of the iceberg if these men are to be believed. And the man that said that was the man that warned 12 months ago that what would happen today would happen. So he was right the first time. We know what's going to happen. We know there are 10 nations that are coming together. But we also know that if we stay faithful, that we will be taken out of it. We will be protected for that last 3.5 years. And we know that Christ is coming back. We know and understand there's going to be a millennium. We know there's going to be a white throne judgment period. We know that every single person, and it's a thing to keep in mind when we deal with people out in the world, no matter how obnoxious or annoying, whatever they can be, that is a potential son of God every much as us. Except their time isn't now. To God, it's tomorrow. It's a day. We know the New Jerusalem is going to come down and God the Father is going to reside on this earth. And we are going to be there. And what's beyond that is beyond thinking about. We have this knowledge. No other people have ever had this knowledge. That's the blessing. Because we have this revelation, we need not fear the future. And when I just made these notes at 12 o'clock last night, I had no idea I was going to talk about that in the sermon. You see, we don't have this fear. No matter how hard it gets, and it's going to get pretty miserable before we're taken out of it, believe me, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. But we know that fear is the destroyer. We know that Satan wants to get us fearful, but because of the knowledge we've got no need to be fearful. And a quick example of that, if you turn to Matthew 14, because this is a classic situation. It happens to a person who's unconverted at the time. Matthew 14, verse 28, and we have Peter, impetuous Peter, always jumping in with both feet. But what a man, especially when he was converted. What a man. Matthew 14, verse 28, and this is, they're out on the boat, remember? They're out on the boat, and Christ appears, and he's standing on the water. And there's almost a hint of doubt here, if you think about it. And Peter asked him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You see that little bit of, what is this? So he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat, and he walked on the water. His eyes were on Christ. His eyes were on Christ. And he walked on the water until he suddenly realized, hello, there's 150 feet of water beneath me. And slowly down he sinks. And he shouts out, Lord, save me. At least he got his focus back right. That instant there was fear. That fear cut it off. To say it in modern terms, the magic disappeared. Down he went. We are holding fast to that which we have. We are not denying the authority of our God. We want to obey him. And as we've just read, we are commanded to take up an offering on this day. So why do we take up an offering? Well, it's quite simple, because that's what our God tells us to do. So now we'll take up the offering, and while the offering is being taken up, Mrs. Paula Henderson will come up, accompanied by Mr. Bowles, and she will sing Psalm 72, "Grant the King Your Clear Judgment."